this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris Wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 31 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is being recorded live Wednesday, January 15th, 2014. This is Aaron, and on this week's episode, we're talking about more hat tricks for the Wild, Yo's job security, and Hockey Day Minnesota. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Good evening, folks.
How's the last week been for you fellas?
Yeah.
A little of this, a little of that.
Busy. It's been better weather, you know. At least us Minnesotans can come out of hibernation for a little bit.
At least momentarily until we get snow over the last 2 days. So.
Right.
But, you know.
Did get to go out and get some skating in this past weekend, though, which is nice. Got to see some pickup games down at the park and good Minnesota hockey. Everybody just having a good time, enjoying the weather while they can in between negative 50 and snow.
Right. And melting ice.
Yeah, melting ice.
Right.
Which there was some of that this weekend, too.
Yeah, there was.
And then refreezing.
And then refreezing and then
with the
melting.
Air pockets.
Yeah. You need to make it a little bit challenging, you know, when you're skating around. Right?
Yeah, why not? Nothing like shooting a puck and having a divot up into your chin.
So, that sounds like a real challenge.
Yeah.
So how about we not waste any time since we're talking about a mediocre week? We'll jump into the week of the Wild.
Yeah, this week the Wild, they had kind of a mediocre week. They took a couple of solid wins on the road, which is not very usual for the Wild, but also very unusual for the Wild. They dropped a couple at home.
Yeah, flipping the script a little, you know. Hey, we're tired of winning at home and losing on the road, so we'll just do the exact opposite.
Right.
It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with that, though, there were a couple of highlights.
Yeah.
Justin Fontaine getting a hat trick just two games after Ryan Suter. So
yeah.
Suter, first defenseman for the Wild to get a hat trick, his first hat trick. Fontaine, the very first Wild rookie to get a hat trick in his first career professional hat trick.
Yep. And that was against the Coyotes. He had three of the four goals. I think his last one was an empty netter, if I remember right.
It was, but with that, he also broke another Wild record for scoring the fastest two goals by the same player with 40 seconds, which I'm going to guess probably beat Suter's at 42 from two games earlier. Right.
Yeah, I mean... it was, and you know, the Coyotes are still struggling to fill up their jobbing.com arena with a name like that. I mean, who knows who can figure why people aren't
jobbing.com still around?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if the site is, but that's what the name is still. But you know, surprising that people aren't just flocking to that stadium, and you know, so I remember seeing on TV there was a ton of empty seats. There's a lot of Wild jerseys. And after Fontaine's goal, third goal, there was hats on the ice.
Snowbirds.
That's all it was. No, that's good for him. And actually, two nights after.
Can I just ask something, though, real quick?
Yeah.
Does, you know, a hat trick's a hat trick's a hat trick. But does the empty netter, does that make it a little cheapen?
Well,
it's not a natural hat trick.
Yeah, it's not a natural, but, I mean, it's still a hat trick. I mean, would you count a power play goal as any less?
Or what about a 5-on-3?
Yeah.
Because Suter just
That'd
got two of them.
Still be a power play goal.
He had one.
Well, one 5-on-3 and one power play.
Right.
5-on-3 isn't a power play?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
But that's even more tilted.
Okay.
You know? That's almost an empty netter, right? Almost, yeah. Kind of.
So if somebody scores two goals during regulation and then one in the shootout?
No.
No.
No, that is not a power play.
No. Okay, well, what about this? What if Danny Heatley's on the ice for all three of your goals. That should be like two hat tricks, I think.
Danny Heatley. Our all-star. Wait, our man.
Did that explain our weather with hell freezing over?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to segue into Heatley quite yet, but you know, just for humor's sake. But I was also going to add, though, the night after, or the game after Fontaine's hat trick, Coyle looked like he was primed to have a hat trick of his own. He had two goals really early on, and then that was it for the Wild.
Twitter feed jinxed him.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, hat trick, you know. Everyone's saying he's going to get a hat trick, and Bupkis,
yeah. That about sums it up. And what's really horrible about that is he only got the two goals for the Wild that game.
Right.
And they ended up losing to the Avalanche 4-2 that night, which is...
Although it was nice, you know, because this whole week has been up and down, up and down, up and down, much like our weather. And the next night they played the Predators in Nashville, and it was great. I don't know why I enjoy it so much, but when Suter, whenever he touched the puck, boo, every single time. Of course, it gets a little bit quieter as the Wild start, you know, racking up goals.
Pushing away, yep.
But it made me think, you know, why aren't we, like, as fans, why don't we start maybe not booing Suter, but going, Suter. You know, so when he goes to Nashville, they think they're cheering him.
Kind of like Bugard back in the day.
Exactly like Bugard. So that's my thought, is that we should start doing that. But in addition, I liked Yo had joked. So Suter's return to Nashville. This is the second, third time he's done it, right?
Yeah.
It was also Jonathan Blum's first return back to Nashville since he left the organization over this offseason. And I think it was his first or second game with the Wild.
Yeah, he was playing down in Iowa for quite a while.
Right. First time with the Minnesota Wild. And Yo had joked that he was going to put Blum and Suter on the same line together, so that Suter would think that everyone was booing it at Blum. And I don't think that would have really worked, but yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
I don't think he had quite the love loss from Nashville as Suter did.
No, not in the least. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the recap of the week. I mean, it was a bad loss last night with the against the Senators. Got shut out.
So how come our All-Star wasn't scoring against the Senators? I mean, isn't that where all the stats always come from, how many goals he has against Ottawa?
Well, and you know what? You know, over this last week, he's done pretty well. I mean, he's had four points in the last four games. That's a goal and three assists. And the week before that, he was instrumental in two of Ryan Suter's three goals from his hat trick. You know, playing, just being a body and screening. Do we think that that's where Heatley should be? I mean, is this the kind of output that we expect, point per game output? Is it a mirage? Do we deserve more, considering we're paying him $7 million plus?
With that salary, he should definitely be getting, at minimum, 2 points every three games. Is my thought.
Honestly, I mean, for that money, you need to be a stellar defensively like Suter is, or you need to be a point a game.
Because I'm even 2 points every three games is putting them at what, about 60 some, yeah, high 50s, 60 points.
Yeah,
I could work with that. Considering where the rest of the Wild are sitting at, that would still put them pretty much on top of the Wild scoring.
Right, and it stands right now, he's got 17 points in 49 games.
That's so uncalled for.
Is he a victim of the system?
Well, it's not like we're playing under Lemaire, though. I mean,
yeah, but we're also not shooting the lights out.
This is true.
It's not just Heatley that can't put the puck in the net.
No, this is very true.
So so are we not practicing hard enough? Because apparently our goalies aren't used to getting shot on either. Because, I mean, some of these games, you know, losing 3-0 and 4-2 against teams that we shouldn't be losing to.
Yeah. I mean, well, the Avalanche is a justifiable. Senators, probably not. And the Coyotes and Predators wins are good wins for the team.
Oh, absolutely.
Really, this team, it's tough to get a gauge on, you know, what they're doing. It's like they're losing some of the games they shouldn't. They're winning some of the games they probably shouldn't. They're a tough team to get a real, you know, finger on, you know, what they're doing.
It has. And that said, you know, less than 2 weeks ago, he was on the hot seat. You know, people were calling for his head on the tail of, what, a six-game losing streak?
Right.
But out of the last seven, though, the Wild have now rallied to win five of those. So, five of them to start off the new year here. And they even accomplished that with all the injuries they've had, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they had all the injuries. And I know Mike Russo from the Star Tribune did a little piece on about how really Yo's job was on the line. Especially, I mean, after that game where they blew the huge lead against the Islanders, you know, Yo, had they lost the next game, he might have been canned like the coach in Winnipeg was just recently.
So do you think Yo is in the clear right now? Then?
No.
Oh, Yo!
Yo!
I don't think so. I think he wised up and realized that anybody that's not directly involved with management, if anybody's going to know what's going on with that organization, it's going to be Russo. And if Russo's putting it to print, he's obviously has something to back it up with.
Right.
He's not one to just put out there what's just speculation or rumors. He's got his in, and if he's putting it out there as a coach, if I read in the paper that my job might be on the line coming from him,
right,
there's got to be something substantial behind that.
Well, I mean, at the same point, though, I mean, how much of this can you put on Yo when you're missing Parisi, you're missing Spurgeon, you're missing Koivu, missing Harding, you're missing Backstrom for a good chunk of the season? I mean, at what point does Yo get blamed for these freak injuries? You know, how can you really blame Yo for that? I mean, granted, they weren't scoring a ton even when they were on the ice. But I have a tough time, you know, kind of reconciling how you blame Yo for that.
Yeah. I mean, at any time, I mean, and amongst any sport, basically, I mean, you take a look at it, and when a team is losing, the first one that they go after is the head coach. But the head coach isn't the one suiting up, getting on the ice, getting on the field, doing whatever. But
he can only instruct so much from the bench.
Right.
Especially in a fast-paced game like hockey. I mean, it's not like football where it's like you play for 5 seconds and then you've got 40 seconds of sitting around.
Yeah.
It's not like that. You know, you can scream at them, but, you know, all they're going to hear is, hey! You know?
We need that on video.
That'll be next season with the video cast.
Although you know, it's possible. I mean, if he has another sustained losing streak of, I don't know how many games, but you got to figure he might be in the exact same spot. If the Wild lose 3, 4, 5 games in a row, is his job actually really that safe?
I think for this season, I think that at this point he's going to be fine. We're almost to the Olympic break, and then you come back from the Olympic break, and it's one last mad dash for the, you know, to make the playoffs. And I don't see them making any, you know, rash changes at that point in time.
I guess it kind of depends on how far down they are. I mean, if they're down far enough where he's pretty much not looking like he's not going to make the playoffs, they might can him and get a new coach in to try to get the team ready for next year. It wouldn't be the first team to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it might not even be a case where he has to have an expanded losing streak, you know, that he has to lose like 5 in a row. But if he's losing 2, winning 1, you know, that might be enough, you know, to sink. I mean, especially in the competitive West where, you know, the standings are so tight, you don't really have a point to give, you know.
No, not at all. And it's been that way in whatever division the Wild's played or conference. It's always been, or the Wild at least have always been in that position where it's you can't give up anything at this point.
Right.
You got to fight till the end, and you go into a 2-game losing slump, and all of a sudden you're 4 positions behind from making the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's completely true, and I don't know. I have a tough time saying that Yo will be here at the end of the season. I think if the Wild miss the playoffs, there's no way he's back next year.
If they miss the playoffs, he's the writing's on the wall. He's probably getting his walking papers.
But I mean, hell, even if they're sitting at eighth and barely making the playoffs with like a month to go, I'm not convinced that he won't get fired then. Even
That might be a tough one.
If we look just to the north of us, up in Winnipeg,
right?
They just replaced their coach, right?
Their head coach and the assistant coach. I mean,
what was it? Was it L.A.? Was it the year that L.A. took the cup? Or
yeah,
they replaced their coach mid-December,
right? And
look at they barely made it in, and they ended up taking a cup.
Right.
But that new coaching, it still might not be late enough to get, say, like a Ken Hitchcock in to get the team turned around.
Right. Well, or someone with his pedigree that is free. Which might be easier said than done. I mean, who knows at this point? I'm hopeful for him that he's able to stick around. But I think if the Wild don't go deep in the playoffs this year, there's no way Yo is back next year. Regardless of how well he does from here on out in the regular season, I think, if they don't make a deep playoff run, there's no way he's back.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that.
I think he'll, even if he is let go, I think he'll bounce back. I mean, he's still the youngest head coach in the league. And he's had success before, and maybe it's just one of those, maybe it's another Todd Richards type thing.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, because Todd Richards has had some success now in Columbus, so who knows?
Maybe it's just Minnesota.
Well, there is that.
Minnesota loves their head coaches in all sports, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Stand by your man.
We're so fair weather here.
I think the last head coach that was loved was Twins GM. Well, I suppose the Lynx, but who follows women's basketball?
But even still, there's factions with the Twins that don't like Gardenhire or whatever.
No, but now I'm going back to Tom Kelly.
Yeah, Tom Kelly.
TK, he even had his.
Yeah, the late 90s, man.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
Those are some stinky-ass teams, man. But anyway.
You can't win them all, right?
And again, it comes back to what the coach can only do so much. He isn't assembling the team. He isn't playing on the field. You know, too much credit and too much blame goes to the head coach, in my personal opinion, whether they're winning or losing.
I agree. But it's also much easier to, you know, have one person take the fall for the many.
But it's much easier to blame the guy who's getting paid $1 million a year to manage the team than it is to blame the $8 million talent.
Yeah, the legs aren't working, so let's cut the head off.
Yeah, pretty much. And with cutting off appendages, just a little bit of an injury update. Zach Parise was able to skate today. He was wearing a yellow jersey in a no contact situation. Said his foot was feeling better, not 100%, but he still has to work to get in hockey shape. So he's a return. I wouldn't say is imminent, but he's on that road to getting back. On top of that, you got Harding also back in the ice. They didn't confirm it, but it was basically admitted that complications due to MS is what has kept him out here for the last couple weeks.
As we all speculated.
Jared Spurgeon also had the boot taken off on his lower body injury, a.k.a.
foot. Was that his calf?
I believe it was his foot.
His thigh?
Another foot?
Yeah.
Take the boot off the thigh?
Yeah, so they had that, and the speculation is he should be skating by the weekend. So, you know, we should have everyone back by the Olympic break.
Hey, well, I know Koivu, was expected to be back.
Yep, but he's not even, they're not even talking about him skating quite yet.
That's quite the return after having a broken foot to go undergo surgery and be back in 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
It is.
This is why the doctors make the big bucks.
And same with the guys dishing out the painkillers.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's the doctors.
Where's Michael Jackson's doctor right now?
So with that, we got some fun stuff coming up in the next week.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, Thursday night, Aaron and I will be live tweeting from the XL watching the Wild take on the Edmonton Oilers. Hopefully we hear a lot of that.
I'm hoping that's all I hear all night.
Expect some photos of randomness, probably some beer and some pictures of other, maybe some of the game.
Maybe Nordy's crotch or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, we need to see Green Man Nordy.
Three in the beer live from the box at the Mexel.
It could be something like that.
Live from the XL urinals.
As I'm standing in line with six dudes ahead of me, everybody's got three full pints of beer in them and taking forever.
Dude, I gotta pee so bad. # full bladder.
Please don't tweet those pics.
So that'll be the Wild's game tomorrow.
Yep.
Then their next game after that on Saturday is for Hockey Day Minnesota playing against the Dallas Stars.
Ask Norm Green.
Yeah, well, the Gunn Brothers.
Still bitter.
Always.
Yeah.
He took our team.
I need to get some Norm Green samples for our sample banks.
I think so. So that'll be another big game for the, well, you know, I guess the Edmonton game isn't a huge game for the Wild. It's a big game for us. Hockey Day Minnesota, though, will
yeah?
be.
Yeah.
Well, will be a pretty big game for the Wild. And then another big game-ish, yeah. Playing the Stars again on national TV on Tuesday, the 21st. So home and home with the Stars with a couple of day break in between.
A little bit of rest, R&R or something like that in between.
So, yeah. So with that, Hockey Day in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff coming up.
Yeah, lots. Looks like five games being televised on FSN, starting at 10 a.m. And then ending after the Wild game. There is one more girls game that is tape delayed from earlier.
Which they did the same thing last year.
I think they've done it the past couple of years.
Okay.
But yeah, so they will be televising all three outdoor games from Hanke Park in Elk River.
Hanke Pit.
Thank you. So yeah,
what goes on there?
Hanky.
You guys are so sweet.
That's what she said.
So yeah, I mean, unless you're living in a cave, if you're listening to our podcast, pretty sure you're aware of what Hockey Day Minnesota is. For those of you that are not, it's basically outdoor hockey games with high school kids, Gophers game, Wild game, home games, I guess.
Yeah.
At least for the Minnesota teams. And then last year they had some brutal snow going on up in in the Iron Range, northern Minnesota. I don't remember. Was it War Road?
I thought it was Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids, maybe? Yeah. They had some wicked snow going on. We'll see what the weather brings this year for the kids playing outdoors.
So. Well, speaking of outdoors, I mean, we've got the Gophers. They're slated to play, but they're playing in Mariucci Arena on Hockey Day Minnesota. When not but one day before, they're going to be playing outdoors in TCF Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean.
Lame.
Actually, yes. You know what? That the Gophers women are doing they'll be down in Mankato for that day. For the Hockey Day Minnesota.
Honestly, yeah. Both the men and women should be outside. They got it set up. I mean, come on.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Get your crap together.
They're going to be playing outdoors on Friday. They already have their big spiel set up for the women to play and then the men to play outdoors at TCF Stadium. Why not incorporate that with Hockey Day Minnesota?
Maybe it was because there's too much competition with the high school teams.
Yeah, I mean, it might be that they don't want to take steal their thunder because I'm pretty sure it started with the high school kids. So it might just be that they don't want, or it was a bigger thing with the high school kids, and they don't want to steal, you know, what they've kind of grown organically. You know, maybe they're actually being benevolent in doing this. You know,
and maybe the Wild should be sucking it up and playing outside too.
Oh, you mean a part of one of the Bud Light Stadium series that Minnesota has not gotten yet?
Yeah, but
the Rangers have two of.
Yeah. Well, and Southern California.
And yeah, and weren't they talking about Vegas getting one at some point here too?
Yeah, because they've got a team.
Well, you know,
yep.
L.A. and Vegas are probably two of the places where once the game gets late enough, you can watch hockey and still hear crickets.
So, yeah, I mean, it should be fun. It's always a fun time.
So, with that,
let's move on into the game of the week. How about?
So, last week's big winner, Big Wiener.
Big Wiener.
Just saying.
That's what she said.
Gave me a semi.
Last week's big wiener was Kenny. He picked the Avs to win. He was the only one who picked the Avs. Everyone else picked the Wild like suckers. That moves him into a tie with Jive with 6 points on the season, with myself and the Meat Beast tied at 4 points. So for the upcoming game of the week, Kenny, what did you choose?
I went with the Stars playing the Wild on Hockey Day in Minnesota. I think it's
classic.
Gonna, yeah. A little bit later start, too, at 8 o'clock game at home. Bunch of people watching
yeah?
it.
Yeah.
So, scores, gentlemen.
Well, I'm going to go with the Wild. I don't know why. I think I keep on losing picking the Wild. But I'm going to go with it. Screw it. It's Hockey Day Minnesota. I'm going with them winning 3-2.
And I'm going to have to go with the Wild continuing their roller coaster ride here. They're definitely going to be blowing the Oilers out of the water tomorrow night. But when they come back to play the Stars, they're going to run back into their little scoring drought.
But they're going
to
be at home, so that means
they're going to lose.
But that means they're going to lose tomorrow then, too. Mm-hmm. I just blow your mind.
You just blew my mind. So I'm going to have to go with the Stars, you know, winning 3-1, as much as I hate to say it, but, you know, because I am still bitter as well.
You know, and I think I'm gonna go with the Wild. The Wild have usually played Dallas fairly well at home. Hockey Day, Minnesota, gonna be a lot of fans out. Gonna be a highly watched televised game. I'm going with the Wild winning 4-2. And Meat Bees,
he phoned it in. And does he want beer or crickets? I don't even know. Is he in Southeast Asia?
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
I'm stupid. I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
Oh, he's in Canada.
Canada!
There you go. Oh, geez.
Just saying that gave me a semi.
He's going with the Wild winning 3-1. He had some other business to attend to this evening. So that's our picks for the week, yeah.
So, the Gophers week in review. The Gophers men hockey team are still sitting on top of both the USCHO and the USA Today. USA Hockey Magazine polls in the number one positions. They swept Penn State this past week in winning 3-2 on Sunday in their very first meeting ever against the Nittany Lions.
The first Big Ten meeting of them as well.
I don't think the Nittany Lions had a team previous to that.
That's their first Big Ten meeting. They've had a...
I think they got a hockey team with the in part of the thing with getting Big Ten was Penn State was.
Well, I think if that's true, that's even more disappointing that the game was that close.
So, well, they swept them this past weekend.
Isn't that like kind of like almost just barely beating an expansion team?
Well,
it's like
I don't know if it's to that extent.
Well, yeah, because expansion teams actually get like an expansion draft and actually get like professional athletes that have actually played. But I mean, you have to, having to recruit a full team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because you're not going to have seniors. You're going to have a tough time getting seniors and stuff like that. If you really think about it at a college level.
Yeah.
They may have been D3 previously.
Maybe. Okay.
So, winning 3-2 on Sunday. With all three goals coming from defensemen. Monday night, they went on to win 5-2. Sam Warning finally snapped a 14-game goalless streak and tallied two on the night. Gophers are now 5-0-1-0 in league play and are 4 points ahead of Wisconsin. The Gophers women played for the first time this year after a long holiday break. They played against Ohio State, which is also the last team they played before the break. This time around, it wasn't quite the 14-3 total goal blowout. After beating the Buckeyes on Friday night 6-0, they tied on Saturday 2-2. Their first tie since, I think, about a year ago, or January of 2012 was their last tie. Hat trick by sophomore Hannah Brandt, the third of her career, and a 28-save shutout from LaVille helped with the victory on Friday night. And that is the Gophers.
Yeah. And I just checked on Penn State's website, and that it is a new team, but they may have started recruiting beforehand.
Well, yeah, because it was in talks for a couple of years, right. So it's not like it wasn't known that it was going
to
happen.
But they'd have to get some players that are willing to basically sit out for a year or just practice for a year.
Right.
Well, that's some tough. I mean, yep. So for them to even stay that close to the Gophers is actually, I think that's quite impressive.
For them.
For them, yes.
Quite unimpressive for us.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, that team's got a lot of freshmen and sophomores. Holy cow. They've got like four juniors and I think no seniors.
Forced to be reckoned
with. Well,
the
Gophers, I think, were kind of lost a lot of their...
Yeah.
I mean, but they've got a pretty full depth as far as talent goes.
Right.
And as far as a lot of people that want to play for them.
Right, yeah, and... Oh, there's one senior on the Nittany Lions. That's it. And I know the Gophers they lost a lot of talent, but that's not that bad. So, anyway.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You guys got anything else?
It should be a fun weekend full of hockey for the next couple of days.
Well, I know on Saturday, I'll probably be glued to the couch watching hockey most of the day. It should be fun.
Should be a good time.
Yeah. So with that, I guess we'll wrap things up a little early here. And I'll just say that this is Aaron. You can catch me. I'm me or Kenny, generally speaking. Sometimes Jive even chips in there.
I'll surprise you once in a while.
We live tweet at 3 in the box on Twitter. We try to do that for every game day. During the game, we make a bunch of snarky comments about how much Danny Heatley's falling over and how drunk I am by drinking every time I see a really odd Ryan Suter commercial. And when I'm not being snarky on Twitter, you can check out my band with these other two guys. We are Pinrot, and you can find us at pinrot.com. Jive.
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm at Jive Midnight. On Twitter, hanging out with these guys usually, trying to cause trouble or trying to stay out of it. I don't know which one, but, yeah.
A little of both.
A little bit of both.
A little column A, a little column B. And this is Kenny signing off. You can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999. For the most part lately, though, it's been just the 3 in the box account live tweeting with Aaron.
Yep.
So hopefully get some pictures tomorrow night and sayonara.